Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
We said at the end of last year that here in North Point, 2022 was going to be our year of advance. Our year of events, I want to maybe even correct that a little bit and say 2022 is our year to advance. It's not just the year of advance, it is our year to advance. And you know what? After nearly 2 years that have included uncertainty and frustration around a global pandemic, intense political division and racial tension, our own family issues and personal struggles, and then all of the challenges that come as a result and stem off of these things, I just want to declare over your life and over your year, it is time to advance. It is time for us to move forward. And, you know, I really found myself last year, like so many people, I found myself in the middle of the year just in a funk. I felt like I had more questions than answers, felt like I had more struggles than I did strength, felt like I had more doubts than I did faith, and I felt this temptation to just settle, this temptation to just settle for what we had, to settle for where we were, just to settle. And it was after weeks and months of this feeling of just going, maybe this is it, maybe we just settle right here, it was like an alarm went off on the inside of me, and I realized what was happening. What was happening was the enemy was trying to get me to settle for less than God's best. The enemy was trying to get me to compromise and settle where I was instead of move forward into everything that God said is possible in our lives. And as soon as it dawned on me, as soon as I knew this is what is happening, I'm going to tell you one thing. I got fired up. I got fired up because I knew, and I said, you know what? Nope. We are not going to settle. We are going to move forward. And that's really where it's that season that I was really working through this. That's where the message series came from that we kind of ended the year with last year. If you were here in our community, you know, we finished up with this message series entitled His Promise, My Part. Because God has great and precious promises for us, but how many understand? We have to do our part to fulfill His promises. And so that's where we ended up. And listen, I had so many people say, wow, man, it was the most helpful series. That was a powerful series, impactful series, my favorite series we've ever had here. But make no mistake about it. Listen, I was preaching to myself. I was reminding myself every week that God has promises, and in those promises determine my possibilities. God has things that He says are possible for me, and I will not settle, and I will not stop until I see those possibilities lived out in my life. Amen? So what are those possibilities? What are those promises? Well, Jesus mentions one in John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, I came so that everyone would have life and have it to its fullest. I came that everyone would have life. Now, let's take a moment and say, okay, well, everybody, when Jesus came, everybody was already living life. But I need you to know that there is true life that's only found in Christ. Okay, so when Jesus says, I came, the reason I came is so that you would have life, you say, well, there was already people here, there was already life here. What Jesus came to give is not existing. Jesus came to bring abundant living. So He says, I came so that you would have life and that you would have it to the full. That's a promise that God has made to us. And then Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he wrote this in his letter in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. By His power, He has given us, me and you, everything that we need for living the life that God created us to live. What life did God create us to live? Jesus said, I came so that you would have an abundant life. And so the life that God created us to live is a life of abundance. So I would say it to you this way today. Because of God's power and promise, everyone has everything they need for living the abundant life. Come on, say everyone. Say everything. So everyone, this is not for the preacher and the missionary. This is for every single person that would put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. That's everyone. Everyone has received these promises, and everyone has access to this power, and everyone has access to everything that they need to live this life that Jesus came for us to have, and Jesus called it this abundant life. So this year, as we are moving into this year of advance, this year to advance, when I say advance, I want you to understand what I'm talking about is to advance into abundance. I'm talking about us advancing into God's best. I'm talking us advancing into this full life that Jesus promised. I'm talking about you moving in to the full, moving into the overflow, moving into the more that is only found in God. You moving into God's super that will invade your natural. I'm talking about you moving into this place where you will prosper. The definition of word prosper, it means to live in a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition. That would be this year what you move into. That you would advance into everything that God said was possible. Now, I want you to understand that it is possible to advance in the face of adversity. It is possible to advance in the face of adversity, which means that it is possible to have abundance in the face of adversity. You can advance in the face of adversity, and even in the midst of adversity, you can experience abundance. The Bible is full of stories. Stories of people that advance despite the odds, advance despite the circumstance. They advance despite their situation. They advance despite what they were going through. They advance and they lived in the abundance of God despite everything that was going on around them. The Bible is full of these stories, and the Bible is full of these stories. So what? So that we can get the faith to believe if God did it for them, he can do it for us. If they advanced in that situation, I can advance in my situation. If they experienced abundance in what they were surrounded by, I can experience abundance in what I'm surrounded by. Right? So, but there's this other truth that if I'm going to advance into abundance, that's going to require me to move into maturity. If I'm going to advance into the abundance, into the full, into the overflow, into God's best, if I'm going to advance into this place where I am prospering on the inside and I'm prospering in my relationships and I'm prospering in all of these areas, that means that I'm going to have to be willing to move into maturity. Well, what does that look like? Well, let's look at the definition for the word advance. The definition for the word advance is this: to move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward in a purposeful way. Now, understand this. Everybody in this room is moving forward. We have already moved forward from the moment that you walked in at 11:15 and we started this service. We are now 35 minutes in. We have moved forward. Time is moving forward. Everybody is moving forward. The question is, are you moving forward in a purposeful way? Everybody on the planet is moving forward. We could say it this way: everybody on the planet is existing, but are you moving forward in a purposeful way? Are you really living? And the second part of the definition for the word advance is to make progress, okay? So everybody is existing, but not everybody's making progress. Not everybody is making progress to the person they want to be and live the life that God created them for. This is our year. This is not our year of existing. This is not just our year of being. No, this is our year of advancing, that we are going to move forward in a purposeful way. We are going to move forward on purpose. We are going to move forward with purpose. And therefore, if we are moving forward on purpose and with purpose, guess what? We are going to make progress in this pursuit of becoming everything that God created us to be. That's what 2022 is going to look like. But here's what winners understand, here's what overcomers understand, is that there is a posture for progress, that there is a position to prosper. It doesn't just happen. No, there is a posture that you get in. There is a position that you get in to see that come to pass. And as we go through this year, this is what we're going to call this posture, this position. We're going to call this our stance to advance. It's our stance to advance. This is our year of advance, but we've got to get in the right stance if we want to advance in 2022. Now, whenever you hear that word, we think mostly of the definition that comes to our mind, right? Is the position or bearing of the body while standing, right? It's just, and we'd say things like, you know, get in the athletic stance, right? And no matter what sport you're playing, football, basketball, baseball, there's some type of athletic stance. You're gonna bend at your knees, put the weight on the balls of your feet, right? You're gonna drop your butt down low, right? There's gonna be some type of, and there's gonna look pretty similar. You're going to get in an athletic stance. This is just the bearing and the position of your body. But there's another definition to this word stance, and it is this: a mental or emotional position adopted with respect to something. A mental or emotional position adopted with respect to something. Now, I really hope that you are taking notes today, because we all know the better notes you take in church, the bigger mansion you get in heaven. So I really hope today that you're taking notes. I can't guarantee that, but I can promise you if you take better notes, you will have better retention, and therefore you might have a better week. Can't really talk about your mansion. But anyway, so I want you to have a great week. So I hope you take notes today. A mental and emotional position, this is your stance. A mental and emotional position, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle that word adopted. If you're typing it in your phone, make it bold, underline it, do something. Because that word adopted means to choose or take as one's own. It's the mentality, it's the emotional position that you have chosen to take as your own. Listen, nobody can make you or force you to adopt a child. You have to choose to adopt a child. And nobody can force you or make you have a mental or emotional position. The mental and emotional position that you find yourself in this moment is the position that you have adopted, meaning that you chose to take that as your own. Now, does your parents influence that? Do other people in your life? Absolutely. But you are the only one responsible for adopting that position and taking it as your own. So life is just like sports. Listen, if you don't start in a good stance, you don't have a chance. In sports, listen, it doesn't matter how strong, how big, how fast, how much potential somebody has. If they start in a bad stance, somebody that is shorter, slower, weaker, with less potential will whip their butt every time. Why? Because they started in a bad stance. And life is the same. If you don't start in a good, if you don't start your year in a good stance, if you don't start your week in a good stance, if you don't start your day in a good stance, the chances that you are going to have a great year, a great week, or a great day go significantly down. Why? Because your stance is what gives you a chance. It's this mental and emotional position that you are choosing to adopt. And now you might not even know this, but every single day when you roll out of bed and your feet hit the floor, you are already in a stance. You are in a mental and emotional position when you start the day. Why? Because there is a way that you have already begun to think about all the things in your life. There's a way that you think and feel about your job. There's a way that you think and feel about the relationships in your life. You already have a mental and emotional position when you get out of the bed. You have a mental and emotional position about what you actually think is possible in your life. You have a mental and emotional position. You even have a mental and emotional position to things like Monday. You have a way that you think and feel about Monday. And some of you are like, oh, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Preach about it, Pastor. Monday, end of the weekend. No, that's not what I'm talking about. No, it's the end of the weekend. It's back to the grind. I hate Mondays. That's what you say. Do you know there's 52 Mondays in every year? So you're throwing away 52 days out of every year just because it's labeled Monday. Because you have a stance about that day. You have a stance that you adopted about that day. Where did you adopt that from? Let me tell you, it wasn't God. God didn't say, I made 7 days and I hate one of them. You should too. No, where did it come from? It came from the world. The world gave us an idea, and then we adopted. We chose to adopt it as our own, and the world hated Monday. We said, you know what? I'm going to hate Monday because your mom hated Monday, or your first boss hated Monday, or you saw some cute little meme about Monday, and you decided, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to hate Monday too. And so, therefore, you begin to live in this lane, and you're like, man, I don't even really know how I got here. You got here because you adopted that as your own. It became your position. Right? It became your position because it's the end of the weekend. So what do people say? They say, I'm living for the weekend. Do you know the weekends only make up 27% of your life? If you are living for the weekend, you are living for 27% of your life. And if that is true, your life sucks. There's got to be more to live for than Saturday and Sunday. It's got to be more to live for than the weekend. But how do we get into these ways of, we get into these ways of thinking because we hear it here and we hear it there, and then we adopt it as our own. And it becomes our stance. And you know, we really finished the year last year, and we really kind of wrapped up the year really talking about attitude in that whole series of His promise and my part. We're talking about attitude, that we got to get that attitude prep before we move into that action step. And I just want you to see how attitude and stance, how they really work together. Attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Stance is a mental or emotional position adopted with respect to something. So here it is, you have this attitude. You settle into a way of thinking about Monday. You settle into a way of thinking about marriage or your spouse. You settle into a way of thinking about your job and your career. You settle into a way of thinking about what's possible in your future. You settle into a way of thinking about how God feels about you. You settle into a way of thinking about how God could ever use somebody like you. You settle into this way of thinking about all of these things. And that settled way of thinking, guess what? It turns into a position. So what I settle into in my mind becomes my mental position. What I settle into in my emotions becomes my emotional position. And I have adopted this position. So my attitude, listen, if my attitude is off, my stance can't be right. If I have settled into a way of thinking that's not right about God, that's not right about myself, that's not right about my family, that's not right about marriage, if I've settled into a way of thinking or feeling about something or someone, if I've settled and that's off, guess what? My stance can't be right. And we already have said what happens if you start in a bad stance. If you start in a bad stance with your feet together, your legs locked, your arms crossed, your shoulders slumped, and your head down, and this is your stance. Don't wonder, why am I getting run over left and right Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Why can't I ever get in? Because this is the stance that I'm starting in, and I'm being pushed around all day long. I'm not overcoming, I'm being overcome. Because my stance, so we know how important. So if my attitude isn't right, this is the stance that I start with. And we all know, come on, Brandon, jump up here, man. You're way bigger than me. It's a good thing because I get to use you as the objective. Okay, so straighten out your legs, put your feet together. Right? Now, everybody, there's not a person in this room that if me and Brandon were going to get down in a football stance and go at it, nobody in this room would put their money on me. If you would, I appreciate that. Thank you for the vote of confidence. But you need help, okay? Listen, you know, cross your arms, shump your slow. Yeah, I just kind of get in a feeble position there, okay? Listen, he's so much bigger and so much stronger. And he played defensive line in college, okay? I played quarterback. The reason I played quarterback is because I didn't want to get dirty and I didn't want to get hit, okay? He knows all the techniques. He would drive me off this stage so fast. But let me tell you what, if he starts like that and I start like this, he doesn't have a chance because I'm going to explode up through him, bam! I'm going to run him all the way back. And now you say, how does that happen? Okay, I mean, I don't want to hurt you. You can go downstairs. And we say, how is that possible? Because his attitude wasn't right. Now, taking it out of football, let's put it back in life. His attitude wasn't right. He has settled into a way of thinking, I'm not good enough, I can't. He's settled into a way of thinking about God, no way God could love me, no way God could use me. Settled in a way of thinking about what's possible for him, it's not really possible for me. He's living like this. And now all of a sudden, boom, he's getting ran over because your stance and your attitude are connected. They are connected. Now, every one of us in this room, like, we all have a personality, right? Some people lean a little more optimistic, right? Some people lean a little more pessimistic. This is how you know if you lean a little more pessimistic is you call yourself a realist, okay? So if you're in the room and you call yourself a realist, you're really a pessimist, but that sounds bad and you don't want to admit that. So you're like, I'm a realist, okay? So we have optimists and we have pessimists, right? We have all the personality types, Myers-Briggs and Enneagram and all the DISC profile, and we have all of these different things, right? And they all exist to show us a little bit more about who we are, and we all lean certain ways on certain topics and certain things. But listen to me, no matter what your Myers-Briggs four letters are, no matter what your DISC profile says, no matter what your Enneagram number is, listen, every single person in this room can get in a better stance. Every single one of us can get in a better stance. You say, how do you know that's true? Because you weren't born with an attitude, you adopted that attitude. Nobody was born. You weren't born with your attitude, you adopted it. You took that attitude as your own. At some point, you may have been 7, you may have been 17, you may have been 33, but the attitude that you're living with, somewhere along the way, you adopted that attitude. And that attitude has put you in a stance, and that stance might be preventing you from advancing. So we got to change the stance in order to advance. We got to change the stance. I would say it to you this way. If your stance was adopted, listen, this is the good news, then it can be adapted. If your stance was adopted, meaning that you chose it as your own, guess what? Then it can be adapted. It can be adapted. Therefore, every single person in this room can get in a better stance. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, and he says this. He says, you were taught not to live the way that you used to. You must get rid of your old way of life. That's because it has been made impure by the desire for things that led you astray. He's saying, hey, look, that old life that you were living, it wasn't taking you into God's best. It wasn't taking you into the life that God created you for. It wasn't taking you the way that you wanted to go. And because it wasn't taking you the direction you wanted to go, it actually led you into this impure lifestyle, this inferior lifestyle. You weren't living in the fullness of what God created you to have. So what Paul's saying is, hey, that old life, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can't continue in that way and expect to get the promise. You can't continue doing that and expect to live in abundance. He said, you got to let that go. And in verse 23, he says, and you were taught to be made new in your thinking. Say thinking. So he says, listen, you were told, hey, don't live the way you used to live. Now you've got to be made new in your thinking. You were taught to start living a new life. You were taught to start living a new life. A new life. That new life wasn't made possible because you went to some seminar and you heard some great teaching. That new life was made possible because Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, lived without sin, died in your place, and was resurrected from the dead 3 days later so that you might have the possibility of having this brand new life. He says, listen, you got to change the way that you think. And you've got to start living this new life. You've got to take on this new identity. You've got to change the way that you think, and you've got to begin to change the way that you live. And that new life, it was created to be truly good and holy, just as God is. That's why he says, hey, I want to put myself in you so that you can be like me. The greatest news about these verses, listen to this, is that our life doesn't have to be the same it's always been. You can change your stance. Your stance doesn't have to continue. You don't have to keep the same stance that your family of origin had. You don't have to keep the same stance that you've had of lack and limitation for so long in your life. No, you can actually change. Benjamin Hardy, in his book, Personality Isn't Permanent, this is what he wrote. He said, instead of focusing on what you can do to enhance your life, you've merely tried to discover or understand why you're disabled or limited. He says, hey, instead of focusing on what you can do to make your life better, on how you can actually enhance your life, you're spending your time and investing your energy to find out why you can't, why you're disabled, why you're limited, why you have limitations. And you are putting more emphasis on why you can't than you are putting work into how you can. And he goes on and he says this, instead of improving yourself, you submitted to simply accepting yourself for who you, quote unquote, really are. This is who I really am. This is who Myers-Briggs tells me I really am. This is who the Enneagram tells me I really am. How about this? This is who my mom told me I really was. This is who my dad told me I really was. This is who my third grade teacher told me I was. This is who my middle school football coach told me I was. And I live all of my life to prove that their label really was right. When their label was a limitation. When their label was a lie. When their label was less than. And instead of doing the work to begin to move forward and improve and enhance, I start trying to find everything in my life to prove how they really, that is who I really am. That is who I always will be. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, hey, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Now, so many times when people read this, we read it just in like a stark contrast of light and dark, right? Of God and of evil. But no, there are just patterns that exist in the world that will actually hold you back from God's best. Now, nobody's going to say that like the way that you view Monday, like that's evil, right? No, it's not necessarily evil, but I mean, I realize it's not good, right? It's not helpful. It's not beneficial. It's not productive. So we can't just see what Paul writes in terms of like, okay, there's holy and there's unholy. There is God and there's devil. No, no, no. He says there's a pattern of which the world operates. That there is a behavior that exists within the world. And he says, look, you don't want to conform to that. You don't want to copy that. He says, but this is what you do want. This is what you do need. You need God to transform your life. You need him to transform you into a new person. How does that happen? By changing the way that you think. So there Paul writes to the church in Ephesus a moment ago. He says, it's changing your thinking. It's going to help lead you into this new life, this abundant life, the fullness, the more, the prospering that God has for you. And here in Romans, he writes, he says, look, don't copy this limitation. Don't copy this lack. Don't copy this way. Instead, let God transform your life. Let God bring you into everything he created you to be by changing the way that you think. Let him change your stance. Let him change your mental and emotional position. Because here's the truth that we know is that if our thinking doesn't change, our life can't be transformed. If you don't change your stance, you are not going to advance. And Solomon, in all of his wisdom, people say, Solomon, wisest person that ever lived. In all of his wisdom, in Proverbs chapter 4, this is what he writes. He says, above all, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. One of the wisest people ever to live, if not the wisest person ever to live. And he says, hey, above all, above everything else I could tell you, above all other advice, above all other ways, most importantly, be careful how you think because your thoughts are controlling your life. I would say it to you this way today. Your thought process is controlling your life progress. Your thought process is controlling your life progress. You see, if you want better progress, then we need a better process. If we want better progress, then we need a better process, because there is always a process to progress. Now, here's what I'd say. Nobody has a problem with progress. Nobody. I mean, it's not nobody has a problem. If I just, you know, say, I mean, here's how we know nobody has a problem with progress. It's because everybody's looking for the 7 simple, easy steps to lose 27 pounds in 7 days. Okay, everybody's looking for that. Why? Because we love progress, right? That's why you buy the Bowflex, because the dude on there is just like ripped out of his mind, and it's like 7 minutes a day. We're like, oh my God, 7 minutes a day, and I can look like that guy. No, that's after he spent 3 hours and 37 minutes in the gym, and then he does that 7 minutes before he goes to bed, and that's how you get that. But nobody's against progress. Nobody. It's the process we have a problem with. It's the process, because where is the pain? The pain is in the process. The pain is in the position. You know, growing up, my dad coached all of my sports teams, and my dad coached our basketball team. And, you know, everybody loves going to basketball practice like when it's shooting day. You know, like you just get to shoot around. Like, that's fun and that's exciting. But nobody ever went to basketball practice going, ooh, I hope today we practice defense, right? Oh, I just hope we practice defense. Because what that equals is you getting in this position right here and staying here way too long until it is incredibly uncomfortable and your quads are screaming at you and your butt cheeks feel like they're about to fall off and your tears are running down your face. And that's like when my dad knew, like, he was really getting somewhere, when kids started crying. You know, we're like 9 years old and kids are crying and like, I want to quit, and he's like, stay down. You know, I was like, okay, we're really getting somewhere right now. You can pray for me. But why does nobody want to practice defense? Because it's painful. It hurts. But do you know that we beat teams that we should have never beaten? Do you know that we won so many games, we lost so few games? Why? Because somewhere in the second half, the other team would get tired and they would get sloppy and they would get in a bad stance and we would be able to dribble around them and lay it up and get an easy 2 points, but we were never going to reciprocate that, because when they came back down the court, boom, here we were, because we're like, man, this game is only 60 minutes. I sat like this for 4 hours and 22 minutes on Tuesday afternoon. Coach D's the madman. I mean, I am ready. My quads can handle it right now, right? I'm prepared. Because whenever you are willing to go through the pain of the process, then you get to experience the joy of the progress. Whenever you are willing to submit to the pain of the process, that's when you will get to experience the success of the progress. We don't have a problem. Everybody wants progress. The thing we resist is the thing that will bring progress in our life. That's the process. That's why I say your thought process, your settled way of thinking, is what is controlling your life's progress. Why? Because it's really simple. The thoughts that we let in today are forming the life that we will live in tomorrow. The thoughts that we let in, or maybe say that we let stay in, right? Because we all have those crazy random thoughts that pop in, and, you know, nobody wants to be held responsible for those. And so you say, okay, it's the thoughts that we let stay. The thoughts that we let stay in, listen, is forming the life that you are going to live in tomorrow. Because Solomon, this wise person, this is what he said in Proverbs 23, verse 7. He says, for as a person thinks within himself, so is he. As you think within yourself, so how you think determines who you are, and you live, your behavior comes out of your being. So he's saying, hey, the key to your life, that's why he said in Proverbs 4 a second ago, right? What's controlling your life is your way of thinking, how you think about yourself, how you think about life. It is your stance. Your stance is going to determine the course of your life. Here's a trap that we fall in so many times. We fall into this trap of waiting for things to change instead of working for our thinking to change. And I'm waiting for things to change. I'm waiting for my spouse to change. I'm waiting for the economy to change. I'm waiting for my kids to change. I'm waiting for things to change. And so many times the things that we are waiting to change, they never change. And while we should have been, instead of waiting for things to change, we should have been working for our thinking to change, because when our thinking changes, everything changes. So we should be working for our thoughts to change. We should be working for our thinking to change. But once again, why do we resist that? Because how many of you know it's so much easier to think the way you've always thought? It's why it's hard to do anything new. It's why it's hard to get up and go to the gym, because I got 8 years of not going to the gym. Right? I mean, that's what, like 2,600 days of practice of sleeping in and not going to the gym. That's why it's hard. It's why it's hard to start eating different foods, right? Because I've got a history and a pattern of eating certain foods. So it's hard to do something new. And it's the same way with our thought process. When you have thought a certain way about God, about yourself, about life, about happiness, about joy, about all of these things, when you have thought a certain way for so long, it will be painful to change the way you think. You'll be like us at basketball practice, crying, going, "Oh God, when is this going to be over?" But listen to me. You will be so thrilled with the progress. You will be so thrilled that you entered the pain of the process of changing your thought progress so that you can begin to determine the progress of your life. You will be thrilled with the results. Yeah, you might cry in the midst of it. Yes, it might hurt in the midst of it. I understand that, but listen, you will be so happy at the end. Do you know, after every game that we won, we never talked about, "Oh, wow, you remember how bad it was at Tuesday's practice when, you know, we had defense a day?" Nobody. We won the game, man, we'll high five. "Yeah, come on, that was awesome." Nobody's even talking about the pain. Why? Because the result is so great. I can promise you, winning a basketball game at 10 years old doesn't compare to the abundant life that God created you for. And that's a life that you can live whenever you begin to allow your thought process to change, so that you can change the results of your life. You know, one of the things that we're going to do this year as we kind of wrap up, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have certain times throughout this year that we're just going to set aside those moments, and we're going to set aside those times, and we're just going to set those times aside for God, for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. We're going to set those times aside maybe so that we would even get a little uncomfortable. Maybe so that we could have moments of reflection and honesty that are a little painful, to kind of dig a little reflection that goes a little bit deeper than we really want to go. That we're going to begin to examine some of our processes, some of our stances, if you would. We're going to examine, how did I get in this stance? How did I start feeling like marriage was the old ball and chain? When did I start making these kinds of jokes and these kind of comments? I don't even know how that happened, but it was happening out there, and I adopted it on my own. And we started looking at, man, when did I start hating Monday? And when did I start living for the weekend? And when did I start believing that God could never use somebody like me? And why did I start thinking that God would never love somebody, or God couldn't forgive me? Why did I start thinking that nobody would want to hear what I have to say and being a relational relationship with me? When did this happen? So we're going to set times aside, and our first one is what we're calling Advance Week. It's going to be happening towards the end of January. And here's what we're going to do. January 24th through 28th, that's a Monday through Friday, every day, 9 to 4 o'clock, the sanctuary is going to be open for you to come. And there's going to be music playing, and the lights are going to be low. And you can have private mode. You can come, you can sing, you can worship, you can pray, you can reflect, you can bring your journal, you can bring your Bible, you can stay for 5 minutes, or you can stay for 5 hours. You can do whatever it is that you want. But it's the purpose of saying, you know what, in this week, I'm going to show up in this house, and I've never come to a prayer meeting. I've never attended anything like that. This is brand new for me. Fantastic. Because if you want progress, you got to change the process. And so let's do something that causes us to be a little uncomfortable so that we can get to a result that we really desire. And that is maturity in our faith and maturity in our life. And I want some things to change. Okay, great. So I'm going to work for my thinking to change. So I'm going to show up. And then when I show up, I believe that God's going to do something in my life if I just show up and make myself available. So we're going to have this advance week. And every day at noon, if you can make it at noon, we're going to have organized corporate prayer. Somebody on our staff is going to be leading this prayer time. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be uplifting. We're going to be praying together from 12 until 1 o'clock every day during advance week. And we're gonna finish this advance week with what we're calling Advance Saturday. And we're going to have prayer Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And then after prayer, we're going to go right into, and we're going to have a couple of sessions. And we're going to have these sessions. Why? What are we doing? We're just taking 3 hours on a Saturday, and we're saying, hey, God, I want to show up so that you can do in me whatever you want to do in me. Because this year, like never before, I want to advance. I want to move forward in a purposeful way, and I want to make progress. And I know my old process isn't giving me the progress that I want. So I'm going to show up and say, God, please show me the error in my stance. Please show me the places of my life that aren't in a alignment with you. Show me these things in my life because I really want to live in abundance. I want to advance, and I don't want anything to hold me back. I want to live the life that Jesus came for me to have. That is an abundant life. I don't want anything to keep me from that. So I'm going to show up. I'm going to get in the presence of God. I'm going to get in the Word of God, and I'm going to let God begin to transform me. I encourage you to be here. Over the next couple weeks, we're gonna get into what does this really look like to get in this stance. And you guys know, man, I'm athlete by nature. I'm coach, and so this stance, and so I'm using this metaphor of an athletic stance for our mental and emotional position. And if you're gonna get in a great stance on the football field or on the basketball court, it all starts with your base. It all starts with the width of your feet, the weight bearing on your feet. And so if we're gonna start in our mental emotional position, we're starting with just the same way that you would start with 2 feet, we're starting with two things. Same way you would start with the position of your two legs, we're starting with two things to say, hey, if we're going to advance into abundance in 2022, if you are going to individually advance, if your family is going to advance, what is it going to take? What does that look like? It's going to look like two things we're going to talk about over the next 2 weeks. It looks like excellence and resilience. Excellence and resilience. Excellence is simply this. It's the state of excelling. It is to surpass or outdo. To surpass or outdo. Now, if we would say, oh, he's an excellent basketball player, what that means is he's better than everybody. He is excellent. Everybody else is status quo. Everybody else is average. He is excellent. He is above the standard. But listen, whenever God asks for your excellence, he's not asking you to be better than somebody else. He's asking you to surpass who you were yesterday. He's asking you to outdo who you've always been. So he says, I want you to live in excellence. I want you to be more like me today than you were yesterday. I want my way more in your life today than my way was in your life last year. That we would live with excellence. That's going to require excellence in our thinking. It's going to require excellence in our believing, in our speaking, in our behaving. But you see, we can posture ourselves. And if we can posture ourselves in excellence, then we can excel into abundance. But then there's this other thing called resilience. Resilience is defined as this: the ability of a person to adjust to or recover readily. The ability of a person to adjust or recover. And then there's this word at the end, it's buoyancy, right? It's buoyancy. Like if you take something that floats, like you're in the swimming pool and you take something that floats and you pull it under and you let it go and that thing comes, boom, shooting back up to the top of the water. Why? Because it's buoyant. It's resilient. It's not going to stay down. It's going to float. Not based upon what is surrounding it, but based upon what is on the inside of it. It is so created with the air that it's created to float. And so it will make its way back up to the top because that's where it was made, designed and created to be. What happens to us is sometimes we get sucked under and we get pulled under and we don't have the resilience or the buoyancy to bounce back. And so we stay down, we stay disconnected, we stay discouraged, we stay disappointed instead of bouncing right back and saying, no, God created me to be resilient. God created me for abundance. God created me to be on the top, to live a life that is full and overflowing. And I am resilient, so I will always bounce back and adjust. Now, here's why this is so important. Resilience is so important as we close today. Resilience is important for two reasons. Number one is this. Bad things happen to good people. We can say it this way. Bad things happen to God's people. Jesus told us it would be true. He said, hey, something you need to know. As long as you are here on this earth, you're going to face many trials. You're going to face troubles of every kind. So resilience is important because bad things happen to God's people. Here's the second reason that resilience is important. Is that you are going to fall short of excellence. And you're going to fall short of excellence often. I'm speaking to you from personal experience right now. You're going to fall short of excellence in your thinking and in your behaving and in your speaking. You're going to fall short of living with excellence. But that's why resilience is so important. I'm living with excellence, but when I fall short, I've got resilience. Whenever I miss the mark, it's okay because I'm bouncing back. I am not lowering the standard. I'm going to live to excellence. But if I don't have resilience, watch what happens. I get down and discouraged because I'm not living up to the standard that I set for myself. And so what I start doing is trying to live life on one foot. I want to be excellent. I'm trying to be excellent. But guess what? You're not always going to be excellent. And so you're going to get down. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get defeated. And now all of a sudden I'm living like this. Boom, you're going to get knocked over. That's why there's got to be resilience. So whenever I miss the mark, whenever I blow it, whenever I do that thing that I told myself I wasn't going to do for the 37th time, and I do it again, I've got to have resilience. So what? So I keep bouncing back. So I don't stay down and I don't stay defeated and I don't stay discouraged and I don't stay depressed. I'm resilient. So I keep bouncing back. I keep adjusting so that I can live the life that God created me to live. Resilience, man, it's what keeps you in the fight. Resilience is what continues to push you forward into what God says is possible. And hear me before you leave today. What God says is possible for you is abundance. That's what God said. There's no asterisk in it. Well, if you've been through this and if you've been through that and if you've said this and if you've gone there and if you've done that, well, sorry, abundance is not for you. There is no asterisk in your Bible. Jesus said, for everyone, say everyone. Everyone. That's you. That's you. For everyone, you can have this abundant life. It's possible. So we live and we say, I'm not going to settle and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to settle. I'm going to keep going after excellence. Because the same would be true if we talk about just living for excellence with no resilience. But if I just live with resilience and I lower the standard of excellence, I start living according to my own standards and not God's standards. I start living according to what's good for me and not what's right by Him. Ha, no, I'm going to get run over. I can't live in the abundance that God. I've got to have excellence and I've got to have resilience. I don't stop and I don't settle. That's the way that it works. I don't settle. I will continue to push for excellence, but I'm not going to stop whenever I miss the mark. I'm not going to stop when something bad happens to me. Why? Because I've determined that I'm going to build my life in the stance of excellence and resilience in 2022 so that I can advance into abundance in 2022. Now, every Sunday, we're going to close out our services with this lead acrostic. We did this last year. We're going to do this again this year because there is no way for us to advance into abundance if we're not leading ourselves well. So our lead is simply, what am I learning? What am I evaluating? What am I applying? And then am I doing it again? What did we learn today? What's our takeaway? Our takeaway is this. There is a stance to advance into abundance. There is a stance. If you want to advance this year, there is a stance that you need to get in right now. The evaluation is this. What is your stance? Your mental and emotional position you've adopted towards what's possible for you this year. What is your stance? What is your mental and emotional position that you've adopted towards what's possible for you in 2022? You know, some things we've just come into this year with and we're like, well,
You know, I mean, that was my resolution in 14, and that was my New Year's resolution in 15, and that was my New Year's resolution in 16 and 17, but I just gave up on that. That'll never happen. Says who? Ah, well, I'll never be able to. What? I can't. What? No. Evaluate your stance about what you believe is possible in this year. When the God of the universe says all things are possible to those that believe, all things are possible. I don't want to shortchange him by having a stance that puts me in a place of lack and limitation. I want my stance to match his advance for my life. The application is this: get in the posture for progress by changing your thought process. Start with your thinking. Start about what you are thinking about. Start by changing the way that you think about your life and about what's possible and about who you are and about your relationships. Start by changing the way that you think. The way that you think is the beginning of changing the way that you live. And then the D is always the same. Just do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Understand that every single day, every day I can get in a better stance. Every day I can improve my stance. Every day I can improve my excellence. Every day I can improve my resilience. And for the rest of my life, I get to keep getting in a better and 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 a better stance so that I can keep advancing into the abundance that God has for me, because that journey never stops. There's always more that God has for you. So it doesn't matter if this is the first time you've ever heard a message in your life or if you've been sitting in church for 45 years, listen to me, there is always more, and your stance is going to determine whether you get there or not.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.